Feasibility and reverse feasibility. Feasibilities. For some of you who are coming from finance and accounting backgrounds, some of this section might be teaching you how to suck eggs. However, it is still worthwhile reviewing everything in this module. Even as an accountant, over the years you pick up bad habits. Even if you are well versed in project management and doing feasibility study costings, there might well be some tips in here to make sure your feasibility studies are accurate, timely, and efficient. What is a feasibility study? Basically, a feasibility study is the financial mapping of a deal. Everyone focuses on the bottom line, but in reality, the importance and accuracy of the bottom line is totally dependent on every line above it. If you put rubbish in, you're going to get rubbish out. I want to approach this module from the very basics, and whilst you have been provided with the Ultimate Feasibility Study Program, which serves as a good checklist and feasibility program for a myriad of strategies, it is best if you really understand what goes in behind each one of these calculations. So let's start from the very beginning. There are two components which need to be addressed in a feasibility study, or just feasibility for short. The first is profit as a result of selling your end product, and the second is cash flow as a result of keeping. Any good feasibility study program should be able to compare a hold property versus a sell and determine which strategy is better. A feasibility is simply an accounting of the ins and outs of a project, whether that be rental income less expenses on a hold property or sale price less the cost of development for a sell property. Sounds easy, doesn't it? The trick is knowing what those figures actually are and making sure you've budgeted for everything involved. From an operational perspective, you will inevitably have two levels of feasibilities. The first is a quickie feaso. It's just a rough estimate on the numbers on the deal to give some indication on whether it's worth pursuing and taking through to full feasibility level. A full feasibility is, of course, nailing down all the income and expenses in great detail and having the expenses backed up by written quotes. The dilemma of a quickie feaso, particularly if you've never done one before, is where do I start? How do I know what to put in for the strategy costs, purchasing and selling costs, construction, etc.? That's why in the early stages, unless you've been doing full feasibilities on a number of projects, even as practice, you won't know what standard costs you might have on a project to throw into a quickie. This is why we are going to start this module by looking at detailed feasibilities first, and we'll then address quickies once you've got your head around full feasibilities. Another distinction that needs to be made is the difference between doing a feasibility to assess a deal versus doing a feasibility for funding or a feasibility for a presentation for joint venture partners. Let's start with analysing deal feasibilities. Sell projects. Let's start with the end product. What is my finished product, property, going to sell for? In analysing this, you need to be realistic. There's no good looking at every deal with rose-coloured glasses. However, on the flip side, there is no point in being so conservative on everything that no deal will ever work. There was a platinum student from Canberra that just couldn't seem to make a deal work at feasibility stage. On looking at his feasibility studies, it was apparent his conservative nature was coming through on every single item. He discounted sale price by 10 to 30% and increased all costs by 10 to 20%, just to be conservative. Now, whilst his conservatism can be admired, this killed every single deal he ever looked at. You're now going to ask, is he an accountant? The answer is no. He is a computer programmer. The best way to determine the sale price is to look at sold properties equivalent to what you will be selling. So if you are doing a subdivision and hoping to sell a block of land, you should look at land sales similar to what you are producing in your target area. Another good pointer here is to look at how long land in your target area takes to sell. Similarly, if you're doing a strata deal and producing individual units for sale, determine what one-bedroom, two-bedroom units, etc. sell for in your target area and how long they take to sell. The reason for stressing how long they take to sell is because your feasibility study is going to have to account for holding costs on the project. Holding costs is the interest you are paying on any monies expended to do the project. Your initial analysis will include searching sold properties on realestate.com and domain.com. Your secondary analysis will involve contacting real estate agents in your target area, including those real estate agents that have sold similar properties in your target area, and asking them questions such as, How long did it take to sell XYZ property? What was the feedback in selling XYZ property? Do they have any advice for you regarding numbers of bedrooms, fit out, standard of presentation, design, land size, etc., that may assist you in producing the product to meet the market? It is better not to take a great deal of advice from the real estate agent that is trying to sell you the deal, but to deal with agents who don't have a vested interest in the deal at that point. They may well want to sell the deal when you ultimately complete it, but they have no immediate financial gain for providing that advice. If the purchase is for a whole property, it's the rental management agents you need to be speaking to, as they will very quickly tell you what rents best, what size, what area, what fit out, etc. And they are a very good unbiased mediator in your decision-making process. While we are on sales, we should now think about the whole sales process, and selling price is only part of that story. The second part is the expenses of selling the property. Here's where you need to make a list and estimate costs of things such as agents' commissions, advertising and marketing campaigns, auctioneer costs, setting up of websites, brochures, potentially staging, photographer, etc. When it comes to feasibilities, you are at least going to need a basic working knowledge of Excel. An Excel spreadsheet is simply a smart piece of paper. Once you put the formulas in, it will automatically add up, subtract, etc., even when you change the input number. If this is not your skill, perhaps you should go and do a TAFE course and learn the basics. Here is a simple extract from a spreadsheet that has been done to show you the formulas. You need to start creating your own. And when you create your own, even if you just use it to do your own quickie feasos, you understand all the components that go into deal making better. Depending on your strategy, make a short list in the space provided on the types of expenses and estimate costs associated with selling your target strategy. We've now got our end product sorted and sold. We now need to go back to the very beginning and think about all of the costs associated with purchasing the deal and doing the deal. Purchase costs. Other than the actual purchase price, there are a number of costs associated with the purchase. Unfortunately, unlike many other countries, Australia has a large and onerous obligation on stamp duty, among other costs. Some of the purchasing costs you will need to consider and account for are as follows. The purchase price, stamp duty. The best way to calculate stamp duty is to go to the Office of State Revenue website for your particular target state, and there will be a calculator where you can put in your purchase price and it will calculate stamp duty owing on the deal. Structure setup. The last thing you want to be doing is buying an investment in your own name. The cost to set up a basic company or trust structure will normally be around $2,000 to $2,500. Legal and conveyancing. Depending on the complexity of the deal and how much advice you require around the deal, legal fees will normally range in the order of $1,000 to $2,000. These fees typically include the required searches on the property as well as settlement fees. Borrowing costs. You may need to add in application fees, valuation fees, mortgage registration fees, and or fees that the broker may charge. The best way to determine this is to ask your strategist for an indication in this regard. Mortgage insurance. If you are borrowing more than 80% of the value of the property, this will need to be accounted for, particularly on a whole property. Even though you don't pay the mortgage insurance from cash, it is normally capitalized or added to in the loan amount. Here is the next part of the Excel spreadsheet with the formulas showing. At this point, I want you to start creating your own template. Operating costs. Under operating costs, segregate out those expenses that relate to owning a property. These expenses will include rates, water, body corporate, insurance, interest on the mortgage. How much cash flow is affected will depend on whether you are paying interest only or principal and interest. Clearly, interest only allows for greater cash flow in the short term, which is better if your intention is to sell the property. Even on a hold property, commit for payment to be lower and therefore interest only, even if you choose to pay principal, because when a financial institution is considering you for another loan, it will take into account your total commitment, which means if you are paying interest only on your mortgages, they will ultimately lend you more for your next deal. However, the choice as to which one you have is not always in your hands, and sometimes in order to get the loan, you will have to take out a principal plus interest. If you're having trouble calculating principal and interest loan repayments, go to the Investor Loans Network website or any financial institution's website and put your numbers and terms of the loan into their calculator and it will tell you what the repayments will be. Management fees if a whole property, vacancies if a whole property, repairs if a whole property. You should be able to be reasonably accurate on these figures as quotes and costs are easily obtained. Strategy costs. When it comes to strategy costs, what you have to do is systematically think through the strategy process and make a list of each of the processes that your deal is going to go through. If you don't know what these are, or you simply need to make sure you have covered everything, the best thing here is to review the checklists in later modules of income and growth strategies. This section of your feasibility is going to be a living, breathing document, and you should have a template of feasibility that you use and keep updated with each deal that you do, or each conversation that you have with another investor or property-related professional. For example, you might chat to another student or town planner who is talking about needing a traffic report, or a hydraulics engineer to look over something, and you might think, well, that's not on my feasibility. This is where you then add it to your template so that next time you use your feasibility template, at least that cost is there to remind you to ask the question, do I need a traffic report and or hydraulics report, etc. The Ultimate Home Study Program has a very good and extensive checklist for developments and subdivisions, as well as a detailed renovation guesstimator spreadsheet, which can be used as a foundation for your feasibility template. What we have described so far is you creating a basic template for your particular strategy. This can be done either on a piece of paper, which is not recommended, or on an Excel spreadsheet. Where you might do a feasibility on a piece of paper to add up all of your expenses and take them away from your sale price to work out what your profit is, you do exactly the same thing on an Excel spreadsheet, except it remembers all of the formulas. So if you change one or two figures, it will automatically correct and adjust the end result without having to add everything up again. Clearly, Excel spreadsheets can be made more complicated than this and pre-programmed to do more complicated things than this. However, if you are just looking to use it to determine profitability, not much more than just simple math and knowledge of the program is required. It is really important for you to have an understanding of creating your own feasibilities per deal, even if you choose to use the pre-programmed feasibility software in your Ultimate Home Study course. The advantage of knowing the basics first is that when you use the Ultimate Feasibility Study Program, you understand how it works and you can use it as a checklist for income and expenses. There are a number of webinars on the Ultimate website on how you to use your feasibility study software, and John Bone, who helped create the program, is very good with answering any queries regarding its operation. Net profit or loss. This is where we simply take our sales less our operational and strategy costs to give us our profit or loss on the project. Below is a basic template for a subdivision, which you can add to and change as needed. If you are doing a renovation or a strata deal or construction, you would simply change the heading to suit. This is only a guide. The numbers will vary from council to council and state to state. You can see how the template systematically works through the deal. The varying sections have been boxed up so you can understand each of the components. As a rough guide from an analytical perspective on a small deal like this one, having a percentage return on project costs after interest but before tax of around 15% is pretty good. It gives you a bit of wriggle room to make a few mistakes and still come out with a profit on the deal and, of course, a truckload of learning. When you are looking at bigger deals, and in particular construction of multiple dwellings, a percentage return on project costs of 20% would be where you would need to be, preferably 25%. The banks and financiers of this style of deal are looking for a return of 20% or higher in order to finance that style of deal. To further assist you, the FISO for the same deal has been listed, but this time, instead of the actual numbers, the formulas are shown behind the shaded cells. Cash flow. If at the end of the deal the objective is to keep and rent for positive cash flow, your feasibility also needs to address operational cash flow. In this section, you will create a basic operating cash flow, which will include rental less operational expenses, leaving you a net cash flow or loss for the year. Below is an example of how a simplified feasibility might look as a guide for you to create your own. The formulas have been exposed so you can see how the spreadsheet works. Take some time to play with this and create one for yourself, even if you only use it as an initial analysis tool. The formulas for this analysis might look something like this. Of course, then the next issue to consider if you are planning on keeping part or all of the project is what the refinance situation will be. Ideally, you would want to pay out existing debt on the property as well as pay back any money you have contributed to the deal. If the new valuation is high enough, there may even be sufficient redraw funds to do both of the above and still have it, some extra money or equity available for the next deal. To this end, there is a little revaluation analysis below just to show you how these calculations might work. But please note, this is just a guide. You need to create your own spreadsheets for your own deals, as this will really teach you the process and give you a much deeper understanding of the feasibility, profitability of your deals. Once you get really into this, then using pre-programmed feasibility software such as the Ultimate Feasibility Study Program that we give you as part of Ultimate are easier to use, understand and model for your deals and projects. Feasibility for funding. The next thing to think about now that you have your head around the basic numbers of the deals is who pays for what. In line with your learning to date, you are ready to extend your spreadsheet to include two columns. One will say bank funding and the other will say own funds contributed. If the deal you are doing is with a joint venture partner who is contributing the funds to do the deal, then you will need to make sure your investment partner has the required available funds to meet the total of this column. This is how the extension to your spreadsheet might look for the subdivision example. Just to show you the spreadsheet without the formulas showing and to see the actual figures required, below is the same spreadsheet without the formulas. Presentation feasibility. A presentation feasibility doesn't have any of the figures changed from what we've done already, but what it does have is these figures put into a mini business plan. Just like any good business plan, a joint venture presentation business plan has structure, and there are some basic guidelines you would need to follow. The following is a list of headings and descriptions which you would need to create in order to present to another investor so they can make an informative decision on whether they would like to joint venture with you. The first step is designed to gain interest in the property deal without divulging exactly what or where the deal actually is located. If you are looking at doing a joint venture deal, there are a number of ways to approach the situation. Experience has taught me that the successful joint ventures come from solid relationships and good communication. To this end, it is a good idea to start talking to friends and other I Love Real Estate community members about their interest in perhaps doing something together and to start to collect contact details of people who might be interested, either as a JV partner or simply to pass deals on to them for a spotter's fee. If you are considering charging a spotter's fee for deals, then you may need to be licensed in your state and may need to complete a real estate agent course of some type and be registered. Presentation of the deal is everything. It's just like selling the property. You are selling yourself as well as the deal to a potential joint venture partner. Obviously, the deal has to work and be profitable, but then just like a sale, it has to be marketed. If no one knows about the deal or it is poorly presented, then it won't get done. So at first glance, the potential investor or joint venture partner needs to be able to quickly see the deal, know how much money is required to do the deal, have an estimate of profit, have an estimate of timeframes to do the deal. An example of what this might look like on the subdivision example we have been using could be as follows. Please understand this is just a guide and you can use your own flair to create something far more interesting. This particular example doesn't have enough profit in the deal to do a joint venture deal, as the funds required to complete are too high to have to split the profit. However, it could be a spotter deal to pass on to somebody. Remember, this example is just a made-up example. From here, you would call for anyone with interest in the property to contact you directly. Depending on how sensitive the deal is, you may wish to have interested parties sign a non-disclosure document before providing full details, or secure the property first with a conditional contract or an option agreement, if possible, prior to releasing the details. For a small deal like this one, you might just act on the honour or the karma principle. Reverse feasibilities and reverse engineering. A reverse feasibility is basically starting from the end product and working backwards. A better name for this process is reverse engineering. The very best way you can learn any new strategy is to find a deal that has already had that strategy completed and reverse engineer it. This means find out what it sold for, estimate the selling costs, commission, etc. Do searches on the property to establish which consultants and or tradespeople worked on the deal. Determine their respective costs. Find out what the owner paid for the property and bingo, you can work out what profit they made on the deal within a reasonable degree of certainty. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Well, it sort of is. Let's start from the top. Sale price. Sale price is pretty easy to determine. Look up the sold section of realestate.com.au or ring the agent and ask. If a property isn't sold yet, estimates can be gained from looking at comparable properties sold in the area. Selling costs. Selling costs are easy to estimate. You're basically going to have advertising and marketing, legal expenses and commissions. If you work on the rough figure of 2.5% for commissions, you will generally be on the high side. Strategy. This is where your resourcefulness comes into play. A good way to start is to do a Google search on the address of the property and put .pdf at the end of the address. This search, and you may have to go through a couple of pages, will show you all PDF documents lodged with or held by a government department. These documents will include everything from police reports, survey reports, soil testing reports, engineering reports, development applications, traffic reports, basically anything that has ever been lodged with a government department on that particular property. There are a few exceptions with this, and that will be in a few small regional archaic councils that haven't quite got the internet figured out yet. From here, it's a matter of wading through the varying reports and compiling a list of consultants that have worked on that property. The length of the list will depend on what the strategy is. For instance, on a development deal, the list is very long. In fact, I was reading in the newspaper about a very large development application for a waterfront resort where the documents lodged with the council totaled 150,000 pages. Wow. A strata title deal might only have a handful of consultants' documents, and a construction deal might only have the building application lodgement. It's important to open these documents, read them, and list all of the consultants. For a simple build, you might only find the building application being lodged. By opening up the document, you will then be able to see who the builder was, who the soil testing guy was, who the plans were drawn up by, etc., etc. From here, you jump on the phone and talk to all of the varying consultants and ask them about the deal. This is where your people skills come into play. If you just ring up and ask, how much did you charge to do the surveying on that property? They are probably going to say, who the hell are you? And rack off. Whereas if you rang up and said, I noticed you worked on such and such a property, and I'm looking to do a very similar deal in the area. Would you mind giving me some kind of guide to pricing on a similar deal? I'm just doing my figures on a number of properties and want to make sure I've got my feasibilities right. I really like what you did on such and such a property, and I'd like to create a similar result. Taking this approach, you are more likely to get the answers you require. You then sit back and think through that particular strategy, who has to be involved, and what is the process. Use the checklists in the modules provided. Plug in all known costs from your discussions with the consultants and estimate the ones you don't know. This will give you a reasonably accurate strategy cost total. Sometimes a lead consultant, such as a town planner, an engineer, or an architect, will be able to give you a rough guide on the costs of the other consultants as well. Original purchase price. This is where programs such as Investar and APM are useful, as they will normally give you the history of the property. If you use the property search and plug in the address, you will be able to see the previous activity on that property, which will include prior sales. Other programs that give this type of information are PriceFinder and RP Data. You will then have to add on an estimate for stamp duty costs and legal expenses, but this is pretty easy to estimate by using the Office of State Revenue website and throwing in a couple of grand for legal expenses. Sometimes just doing a Google search on the address of the property will bring up old listings, and if the agents haven't done their job properly, you can see the old sales data. Profit or loss. Now comes the good part. Take your sales, less your selling expenses, less your strategy costs, less your purchase costs, and that equals your profit or loss. By the time you have done this on 3 or 4 completed deals, regardless of what strategy you are reverse engineering, you will have a very sound understanding of the implementation process and costs of that particular strategy in your target area. 3 or 4 of these reverse engineering calculations, and you will be able to sit back and analyze the results. If one deal made $150,000 and the next one made $20,000 in the same area and all things being equal, you have to ask yourself why. This is why doing multiple reverse engineering calculations will give you confidence that your figures are reasonably accurate. As an exercise, pick a strategy that you are interested in and find a completed deal in your target area that has implemented that strategy. Using the basic feasibility study program you have created in the previous part of this module, reverse engineer that finished deal. If you really want to know how to do that strategy and be confident on the costs, don't just do it once, do it three or four times on different deals. Good luck and have fun. Happy reverse engineering.